Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Maybe if you just toned it down a little. Angel, you're too hood. Angel, you're too ghetto. Actually, I'm none of those things. I'm Angel Reese from Baltimore, where grit, tenacity, and being a dog is my second nature. Where I'm from, when you step on that court, you better be ready to defend your name and your spot. You think there's going to be handouts? There's no handouts. There are no excuses. If I had been a little sweeter, softer, or nicer, I wouldn't be the player I am today. I wouldn't be breaking records. I wouldn't be setting trends. I wouldn't be the double-double queen, the Bayou Barbie, or even just one Barbie.
She blocked that while holding her own shoe.
I'm here to put Baltimore on the map for the young girls that are looking up to me where I'm from. So you want me to be nice? Nah, I'm going to play like Angel. I'm going to walk that walk, and I'm going to talk that talk, and I'm going to be passionate and competitive. It paved the way for me. It made a lane for me. And it made me, me. The one and only, Angel Reese, the Bayou Barbie, the double-double queen. And I won't be toning it down anytime soon.
And then there's that. That's LSU women's basketball star Angel Reese with a social media clapback after criticism of her trash-talking on the NCAA championship court on yesterday. And look, that was not the beginning. Of course, there was University of South Carolina coach Dawn Staley. She had some choice words after their loss last week to Iowa. Well, why are black women athletes still getting so much hate from sports writers? We're talking about it all. My guests tonight are sports analyst Kelsey Nicole Nelson, Howard University Afro-American Studies professor Dr. Greg Carr, and Panama Jackson columnist and podcaster for thegrio.com. If you have comments or questions, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Thank you all for joining this conversation. Kelsey, let me start with you. I know you were glued to all of these games since the initial 64 were playing. But when you heard about this comment by a former ESPN anchor, Keith Oberlin, he referred to Angel Reese as a effing idiot. Were you clutching your pearls or were you not surprised?
Ooh, well, thank you so much for having me. Sure. Truly honored to be back on the show for this very important and timely conversation. You know, when I saw that comment, I think first I want to preface this by saying this is exactly why I studied African-American studies and sports journalism at the University of Maryland, because these have been issues that have been occurring a long time in sports. You know, we can go back to the passing of Title IX back in 1972, which gave women equal rights in sports at schools. But when he said this comment, it took me back to thinking about Angel Reese, a 20-year-old from Baltimore, Maryland, a sophomore in her first season at LSU. And here we have a grown man saying such derogatory comments about a black woman in America. And I think it took me back to the two Americas in which we live in, you know, an America in which black women, Malcolm X said it best, you know, black women are the most disrespected people in America. And I think sports has been a microcosm of what black women face. And I think, you know, this, Harold, right now we should be talking about what was the most watched women's championship game in women's basketball history. And I've been with women's basketball, you know, since the beginning. But instead, we're talking about race and sports and the double standards that exist for black women. And I will say, I was somewhat surprised just by how many, especially white men, and you talk about Keith, and he's somebody that actually had to backtrack his comments, come back and apologize, saying, my bad, I didn't know the full story of what happened before, which you alluded to, and which Caitlin Clark has actually done the same thing throughout this tournament, most recently against Louisville, a team in which Iowa beat, when she did the You Can't See Me, and she's actually been praised for trash-talking. ESPN just did a whole piece, Harold, on her trash-talking. Her teammates praised her trash-talking, talking about how it actually makes their game better. So I think for me, I felt for Angel. I know what she represents, especially here in this area. I know how many supporters she has, being from Baltimore, being a true athlete, trash talking always being a part of her game, a part of her older brother's game, who goes to the University of Maryland, and Julian Reese. And I was honestly just disappointed that so many people would do this to this young team, this young basketball player. But once again, it shows the world in which we live in which black athletes are judged very differently than white counterparts.
Yeah.
They're told to stay in place, you know, be grateful and be humble. And basically they were trying to silence Angel just for saying, just be thankful for the moment and really try to not let her be herself.
Dr. Carr, here we go again. That's all I got to say to you, because I know you have some thoughts.
No. Look, man, I've been a fan of the women's game since I was an undergrad. My then girlfriend played for the Tennessee State Tiger Gems. That's back before it was Lady Tigers.
White folks. Now we're getting into your business, but go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, a lot, if you look just at HBCU women's sports, and shout out to Coach Ty Grace and Howard Bison, and of course Norfolk won the MEAC this year. Always good to see those sisters in the tournament, particularly when you're talking about plantation sports, which is what we're talking about tonight at that level in NC2A. But, you know, I want to echo, you know, what Kelsey is saying. This is a proxy for something bigger. A lot of that viewership was because the white girls beat South Carolina and Dawn Staley, you know. And then, so a lot of people watch because sports is a proxy for other issues in society. And they were looking to see whether or not Caitlin Clark, who, like Paige Buckets, who was at UConn, got injured. Both of them going into these tournaments have maybe $1 million or more in name, image, and licensing signing. Now, Angel Reese, I understand Mattel is maybe reaching out to make a Bayou Barbie. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, Barbie can go her own way. But, yeah, this is sports is a proxy for conflict. And so, you know, I didn't really have a rooting interest in it because once Dawn Staley and them were out, although I'd much prefer one day for it to be South Carolina State, maybe, instead of USC. But, hey, I'm an adopted Philadelphian, so shout out to Dawn Staley from Dobbins High School and University of Virginia. You know, I'm always, you know, with them. But once they were out, I certainly wasn't going to necessarily have a rooting interest in Louisiana State, particularly given that Kim Mulkey, when Brittany Griner won her national championship at Baylor, ain't had nothing to say when Brittany Griner was locked up for almost a year in Russia, you know, Baylor being the nice home of Christian Soldiers University that it is, maybe some questions about LGBTQIA. But what we were watching and all the reaction is people choosing sides in a society that is deeply racist and continues to force us to choose sides. And last thing I say is we know Keith Olbermann. Keith Olbermann talk crazy all the time. He called that child an effing idiot, and he just stepped out and put his foot in his mouth. But it was the wrong time in the wrong place in a society where we pick sides, and we've been picking sides a long time.
Yeah. Panama, before I get you to share your thoughts, I want you to listen to the post-championship press conference. These are comments. First, we're going to hear Angel Reese and her response to the criticism, and then we're going to hear from Caitlin Clark.
I don't fit the narrative. I don't fit in the box that y'all want me to be in. I'm too hood, I'm too ghetto. Y'all told me that all year. But when other people do it, y'all don't say nothing. So this was for the girls that look like me, that's gonna speak up on what they believe in. It's unapologetically you.
Honestly, I have no idea. I was just trying to get to the handshake line and shake hands and, you know, be grateful that my team was in that position. You know, that's all you can do is, you know, hold your head high, be proud of what you did, and, you know, all the credit in the world to LSU. You know, they were tremendous.
Panama, talk about the incident, the hand gesture that we got so much pushback for Angel Reese, but the reality is that Caitlin Clark did the same. For those who don't know what that was.
Well, first off, let me say shout outs to Tony Ayo. I didn't think I'd ever have an opportunity to say that ever in my life. But John Cena, who is credited with that little particular "you can't see me now" hand motion, said even he got it from Tony Ayo. So Tony Ayo has made it into the conversation in 2023. But anyway, the fact that so Caitlin does this, right? She has done this actual gesture, which is intended to be a sign of, listen, not only you can't see me, but like I got you. Basically, trash talk we do on playgrounds across the nation every day. People talk trash. Angel Reese gives it back to her. For what it's worth, K- Caitlin Clark said all the right things at the press thing. I didn't see it. That's what you say when you lost. You gave your praise to LSU. Angel Reese, shout outs to that woman, boy. She said everything she needed to say. And also, like, it's amazing how much of a awareness that you have to have that in that moment. You get the opportunity to speak. They put a microphone in front of you, and you point out the way that everybody in the media has been coming for you and y'all and your teams and players that look like you, and how when you got the opportunity to give it back, you did exactly what you're supposed to do. I almost hate how often we hear the term unapologetically black. I feel like people use it wrong. But I love the fact that she used that in that statement. She stepped up there and said, listen, I'm doing this for all the girls that they talking about. And I can appreciate that. I'm watching it. And one thing I will say is what this entire situation points out, you know, it's been so eloquently stated by Kelsey and Dr. Carr over here, but how messy we are as a people and how much we love mess. Because this whole situation from Keith Olbermann to the Twitter trolls and everybody, like, we have heaped all of these issues and problems into one, like this WNBA, I mean, excuse me, this the NCAA Women's Championship, like, put on display. Iowa was a very white team, so much so that Jill Biden has asked that they get to come to the White House. That she wants the losers to come to the White House and share a platform with LSU, the winners. And I hope Joe steps in and says, we don't do that. That's not how this works. Yeah, that ain't how this works, boo-boo. Yeah, this exactly. Ain't how this works.
There's only one winner. You don't get a participation trophy.
It's like we get this, like, you get this white team and the white America probably pulling for them. You get this team that represents what so many of us look at is they just balling. They out there and they balling. They doing it their way. They doing it with flair and style. And they get a chance to win. They give it right back. And I can appreciate that. I love it. Like, I'm here for it. I love that everybody was paying attention. Nobody is talking about the men's championship game that's tonight. But you know what everybody is talking about? They are talking about the women's game that's already been played. They're talking about all the stuff that goes along with it. They're talking about Dawn Staley and USC. Paige Bueckers wasn't even here. She got to come back from her injury. So when she get back next year, I mean, who knows how messy. I love it. I'm here for it. Like, we're all paying attention because they are out there balling. Like, to go with all of the extra stuff, they are balling out of control, and I love it.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about black women athletes and why they are still getting hate from the sports writers, the sports commentators after this magnificent Final Four and championship series with the NCAA women's basketball game. You've got to share your thoughts with us tonight at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Kelsey, let's talk about this whole bullying and thug thing. We are talking about sports. This isn't professional sports. This is college sports. But the line between the two, particularly when you're talking about football, when you're talking about basketball, and particularly, men's basketball, women's basketball, it's a rough sport. There is trash talking from the courts in New York City, Baltimore, D.C. neighborhoods, all the way to the NCAA hardwoods. Why is everybody seemingly so surprised that there's trash talking?
You know, you just hit the nail on the head, Harold. Trash talk is part of sports. That's why I got into sports journalism. I welcome the trash talk on my Twitter handle, at me. You know, bring that to me. I think that's why we love the game. That's why people go to the game, right? You want to compete against other fans. But I think what has happened is, and I'll even say in the NBA, I'm doing a lot of NBA coverage right now, and, you know, I talk a lot about Draymond Green and how, you know, he's obviously been like people like to call him a bully in the NBA, Dylan Brooks, and how he's kind of also turned himself into that. But I think that's why we have to look at this through a gender lens, unfortunately, and then also through a, let's be honest, a race lens. And, you know, black women athletes, you know, so often, you know, and this is even before Angel Reese. You can look at the way Serena Williams, you know, was judged as a tennis player. And there's so many other examples of this. But I think why people have a problem with it is because it's Angel Reese. They don't like the way she is. They don't like the way this team looks. I can't tell you how many mentions I got. Well, why do they have their hair like that? Why do they have their nails like that? Wake up, America. This is the beauty of black women. We come in all different shapes, sizes. We can do so much with ourselves, and that's the beauty of being a black woman. And why are you even paying attention to that? These women are playing top-tier basketball, 9 new players for this program. Kim Mulkey in her first year, in her second year, whether you like it or not, was able to do what so many deemed impossible. They brought a national championship to the school. But I think people are saying, you know, basically, Angel Reese, you can't do this. And a lot of people are, you know, implicitly trying to say, you know, don't bring the Baltimore to LSU. Don't bring it to the basketball court. You know, it was so unfortunate. You know, a WNBA player, Natasha Cloud Herald, actually tweeted about the racism that she heard in the arena at this game, when this game was being played, from fans that were in the arena and in the stadium. And, you know, people went back to the Great White Hope narrative. You know, you go back to Larry Bird days and Magic Johnson days. And, you know, really this game was billed as, you know, almost black versus white. You have an LSU squad that's predominantly black versus an Iowa squad that's predominantly white. And they have a large following of white fans that follow them, very big fan base that follow them to each game during this tournament. So I think, unfortunately, you know, Angel Reese exposed what black women so often have to go through, especially black female athletes, that you can't be this. You have to be in this box that society wants you to be in. But women have been trash talking since the beginning of time. I used to be an athlete. Some of the things on the court you might not repeat back to folks, but that's the thrill of the game. That's what drives the game. You know, that's what gets people to follow certain athletes. That's what makes people competitors. You know, we praise Tom Brady in this light for being a champion and competitor, but Angel Reese, you know, isn't able to do the same. And this is unfortunately why, you know, black women just face so much, because they have to be what everybody else wants them to be. When Caitlin Clark, you know, has swagger and is cool when she's doing the exact same thing. So again, welcome to living in America as a black woman, especially as a black female athlete in 2023.
And you know, Dr. Carr, before we go to a break, I would be remiss if I did not mention this. It was not that long ago that syndicated talk radio host Don Imus talked about the Rutgers women's basketball team. I'm just going to say it because he said it, quote, nappy-headed hoes. And that, as I said before, this is not something that we are unfamiliar with, but it just shouldn't be that way, Dr. Carr.
No, of course not. And again, the floating signifier in this is race. I'm glad you raised that with the now dead Don Imus and nappy-headed hoes. Because remember who was the coach of that team? Coach that team was Vivian Stringer.
Hold that point, Dr. Carr, because I want everyone to hear it. We are going to take a really quick break. Also, women, William, calling from Bowie. We're going to talk to you as well. We are talking about that serious Black Girl Magic from this weekend's NCAA championship and the criticism that these young, fantastic Black women have received. We're also going to hear from Coach Dawn Staley and her choice words after her loss last week. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about black women athletes still getting hate from sports writers this weekend after the NCAA championship game on Sunday. My guests are Afro-American Studies Professor Dr. Greg Carr, sports analyst Kelsey Nicole Nelson, and Panama Jackson, columnist and podcaster for thegrio.com. If you have a comment or question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Before I go to the phone lines, Dr. Carr, finish your thoughts about the whole Don Imus thing with Rutgers women's basketball program back in 2007.
Part of this is black players playing for black coaches. And in the case of the women's game, black women playing for black. Remember, the queen of the prom during the period when Vivian Stringer was trying to go for a national championship at Rutgers with all those sisters from the Northeast, from Jersey and New York, was the University of Tennessee, Pat Summitt. You understand? And in fact, the same Pat Summitt that as a player at the University of Virginia, Dawn Staley faced. In the same year that her, we went to Dobbins High School together, Hank Gathers died. Remember, Hank Gathers collapsed on the court there, Loyola Milliman, both of them from Philly. Well, you know, think about the black women coaches in the basket in the games right now. Carolyn Peck, the first sister who won the national championship, black woman. And when she cut down the net, she gave a piece of that net to Dawn Staley, who, when she won the championship last year, gave out pieces to all the black women coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. There's a genealogy there. Finally, Vivian Stringer, who was coach at Rutgers team, went to the Final Four with Cheney State. That's why I remember Dawn Staley had that Cheney jersey on during the tournament this year. Vivian Stringer won, well, she got to the Final Four from Cheney, and also in the tournament that year in the Final Four was John Cheney, who was coaching the men's team at Cheney State, who then went to Temple. That's where he encountered a male form of Kim Mulkey in the form of John Calipari, who was at UMass. And, you know, you do a number of recruiting these black players so that you can get them one and done and go to the league and do whatever. And John Cheney's like, I'm trying to educate young people. This is where I'm coming with this. The reason a lot of people tuned in the other night to watch this game was because black people were rooting for South Carolina. And when South Carolina got put out, a lot of people found out who Angel Reese was, for the first time because they said, somebody please stop the white girls. Now, if Dawn Staley and University of South Carolina had been there, I guarantee you little Kim Mulkey would have gotten a lot more shade because black people probably would have been more evenly split, and I would dare say probably more of them would have been rooting for Dawn Staley and her girls. No shade to Angel Reese and the rest of them. And this is where we can talk a little bit later about the real economics of this, because there are only about 140-something jobs in the WNBA. And so, Angel Reese is going to be okay, Clayton Clark is going to be okay, but many of those players are going to have to go overseas, are going to have to find other ways to do it, because at the end of the day, the whole thing is feeding this billion-dollar sports industry, and they're building up the women's game to go in that direction. And race is, quite frankly, profitable in this country.
Yeah. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. William, calling from Bowie. Thanks for hanging on, William. What's on your mind?
Well, I mean, if you watch the tournament, men and or women, you would see that there's so many gestures going on. And I think it was more of the timing of which she did the Cena move, you can't see me. But, you know, the guys are running around, you know, with I just dunked on your head, or you're too small. And this is going on all game long. And I think it's the timing, and it is a race thing, that they kind of put Angel on some type of display that you can't, you know, express your enthusiasm for the game like the guys do, because you're a black woman. And I do remember, you know, the Rutgers things about, you know, your nappy-headed women and things like that. So, you know, all kudos to, you know, Angel for being authentically her. And she is a voice of a lot of young black women that don't get a chance to show themselves because they feel that they have to fit a narrative that's not really them.
Yeah. William, thank you so much. And I just want to say also about Angel Reese, she was saying that, you know, people expect her to be nice. You know, she is nice, but she is noise. You know, and I think that, you know, she is noise on the court. She is graceful. She is fantastic. And I think she's a wonderful role model, not just for those who are into sports, but I think for black women, because she stood up, she would not be silenced. Now, speaking of not being silenced, Dawn Staley had a clapback during her press conference after the loss last week in this tournament. Let's listen to what she had to say, and then Panama, I'll start with you, and then Kelsey.
The truth about our team, okay? It's a good question, okay? We're not bar fighters. We're not thugs. We're not monkeys. We're not street fighters. This team exemplifies how you need to approach basketball. On the court and off the court. Some of the people in the media, when you're gathering in public, you're saying things about our team and you're being heard and it's being brought back to me. Okay? And these are the people that write nationally for our sport. So you cannot like our team, Okay, you cannot like me. But when you say things that you probably should be saying in your home on the phone or texting out in public and you're being heard, and you are a national writer for our sport, it just confirms. Just confirms what we already know.
What do we already know, Panama?
I mean, we know that they are treated entirely differently and viewed entirely negatively for reasons that have nothing to do with them. They have everything to do with media bias and not liking the makeup and the way that these black women look on television or the way that they play, right? I love Dawn Staley, good coach, and I agree with Dr. Carr. If it had been USC versus LSU, I'm fairly certain we'd have all been pulling for South Carolina. It would have been... I mean, I wanted them to win because I want the black woman coach to win. I want the black coach to win. I love Aaliyah, but I like the team. I wanted to see them get a perfect season, right? So,
and let's be clear, people like Dawn Staley.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, she has her profile is beyond this, you know, dynamic coach for the University of South Carolina Gamecocks. I mean, she's on commercials. Commercials with an S, plural. I mean, she has become a star coach. I mean, in so many ways off the court.
Yeah, I mean, she's good at, listen, Dawn Staley's good at everything she does. She's a great ball player. She's a great coach. She clearly is an inspiration to the players that come there. I mean, I'd want to go play for her. You know what I mean? Like, she's the kind of person that you want to have in your corner. And, I mean, I think the simple way to put it is she gets it. She understands the assignment, you know, what we like to say. She understands that everything that's being said about her, that she's hearing, and she's letting everybody know, we get it. We understand what y'all are saying. But you won't break our soul. You know what I'm saying? I guess I'm going to try to use as many random musical black musical references as I can today. But, you know, it's I can just appreciate that. I hate that she has to do it. I hate that she feels like she has to be in a position to do those things. But it's important that it gets said because that goes in the public record, right? So it's out there so people know. Like, you let everybody know, I see what you're saying. We hear it. We know it. And we beating you anyway. We still beating you anyway. This was a minor setback. Look, South Carolina will be just fine. You know, they are going to be they're basically the new UConn, right? Like, they got the potential to be the new UConn, except instead of Gino Auriemma up there, front is Dawn Staley doing this for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
So I love it.
Kelsey, Dawn Staley basically put the media on notice that this is a game, but it's not a game.
That part, you know, I think first off, we just have to realize, you know, going back to Pamela's point, like, how sad it is that she felt the need that she had to do this. But obviously it was needed, you know, and it's really sad that she had to hear from others in the media how other people in the media who are supposed to be covering her team at the highest of level. And let's remember, these are journalists who took, you know, the oath of being a journalist, right, to adhere to the ethic principles that we take as journalists. And they felt the need to call out her team. And I think this tying these two subjects together, I just really want to say this. You know, Caitlin Clark is not a victim. If anything, black women have been the victim a long time of society and the way that society has treated them, and especially in this sense, the way that black female athletes are treated. You know, Dawn Staley, and first off, shout out to AJ Jones, Andre Jones out in Houston, who actually asked this question, a good friend and colleague, you know, to elicit probably the best response we got at this press conference. But what Dawn Staley was saying, she said she wants people to talk about how they approach the basketball game. Let's remember, these are student athletes. Talk about how they approach the basketball game. Talk about their game. You know, don't talk about, like she said, and it's sad she had to say that. She said, don't judge us by the color of our skin. That line should sink in for a lot of people because this is something that we've been having to say as black folks for a very long time. She said, no, don't talk about us like we're going to a bar fight. These are athletes who are competing at the highest of levels, right? These athletes put everything on the court. For what? They wanted to win a championship. And, you know, Dawn Staley's squad respectfully so deserves all the credit. To go undefeated for the regular season and to get where they got this year is a very hard feat to do, a very hard feat. And they deserve so much of that. And when you look at NCAA women's basketball and you look at all the black female athletes, and when you look at the NIL deals and the way that black female athletes really have to, I think, fight for themselves to get the money that they deserve, And our the woman that we're talking about prior to this, the Bayou Barbie, she who is Angel Reese, you know, she's been able to capitalize off that. It's not always been that way for black athletes. Harold, you talked earlier about, you know, Dawn Staley and these commercials. You know, it wasn't too long ago where we would have seen Dawn Staley in an Aflac commercial.
Absolutely
right? I mean,
not.
She's had to fight for this. She's had to prove herself. And I think it's even sad that she feels she has to protect her team like this in 2023, folks. Like, this is a problem that any of this was said. You know, that the play, and let's remember, these are young student athletes. We're talking about young girls, young women who are 25 years or younger, and the way that they're being talked about, it's just honestly quite frankly disrespectful, and it's disgusting. And it's the way that black female athletes are talked about, you know, and the fact that she, again, had to do this in a press conference, and you could tell it was weighing on her. She said she was going to say this whether they won or lost.
Yeah.
She said this has to be said. She knew she had to do that because, just remember, these, you know, if you looked at that press conference, her team members said they looked at Coach Staley like a mother, like an auntie, like black women do in the black community to, you know, our older female role models. And she knows what these young women represent, but they're also human. They hear things, they say things. And because of social media, you know, it's even easier to see all these things. So I just want to give props to Dawn Staley for saying what she said. I think this is such an important moment to not just say protect black women, but actually act in that. And I think she really put a call out for folks to actually do that. And it's just so great to see now media seeing, you know, a coach actually say, look, you guys need to do better by us. Look at the language that you use when you describe our players. You know,
well, let me ask you as it relates to that, because we heard what Dawn Staley said, but do we know who said what?
We do not, Harold. And I think Dawn Staley, I tweeted this, you know, I think she took the high road. You know, it's the Michelle Obama, when they go low, we go high, because she could have called them out. And let me tell you, there was a lot of comments and quote tweets saying, Coach Staley, can you call out these media members? But she decided not to. But I think a lot of folks really feel like, you know, for accountability purposes, it would be great to know those media members. But I get why Coach Staley did that, because she didn't want to take away from that moment. She wanted folks to focus on what was being said, and I feel like she probably thinks, Harold, that was notice enough for whoever said it in the national media to take notice. I mean, if you think about it, she said it was basically said, you know, during Final Four, they have a bunch of media mixers and meetups, and it was said at a public event where journalists were meeting and said in the open, right? And so somebody overheard it and felt the need to bring it to Coach Staley because they felt it was that serious. But again, that's just unfortunate that someone who is a journalist would even feel comfortable enough doing that. But think about it. If that journalist felt that comfortable, it means the folks that he was talking to, or he or she were talking to, were also comfortable hearing that.
Yeah.
And that's a larger issue and a larger problem.
Dr. Carr, what will it take for the sports writers to self-correct themselves? Does it, I mean, because we spoke about Don Imus. I mean, I can take you back, way back to Jimmy the Greek and some of the things that he said, and just some of the other kinds of things that we have heard white sportscasters say about black athletes. Does that mean that we need to have more people that look like us behind the microphone to make sure that that what is said and what is observed and the kind of analysis that is offered is culturally correct?
Absolutely, it does. We both know the answer to that, Harold. We need more Chelsea Nicole Nelsons and Panama Jacksons. And that doesn't mean, and by that I don't mean just demographically. Why? Because you can end up with Jason Whitlock, who has been dancing for his master the last 24 hours, and you know they pay him well for that. So you got to have people with the right mindset, because these sports writers are not going to change. Absolutely right. I mean, remember a sore loser in the coaching ranks, and it was so delicious to have a little taste of the tears of Gino Auriemma out of UConn when South Carolina whipped their behinds a few days ago. And, of course, Gino with his little slight dog whistles. And if you remember, going back for a moment to that Rutgers team in 2005, that team with Kia Vaughn and Matisse Adjavan, as before Kathy Poindexter got there, Essence Carson, who was a rich, dark chocolate girl from Paterson, New Jersey, young woman, they beat UConn. And black people were celebrating. Why? Because even though UConn has a couple of black players, we understand that is white America's team, too. And you have to have sports writers who have the courage to say those kind of things. Now, you know, you have them from time to time, but once you get in those positions, you're going to have to bring this out because this isn't going to end. It only ends when we end it. And one other thing is, of course, there are going to be plenty of time for sports writers to get this right with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, because now the Women's National Basketball Association has its Magic Johnson and Larry Bird.
Mm.
So you're going to see this play out as a morality play over the next decade or so. And if it follows the arc that they did by ginning up race in that instance, at some point these two are going to make a shoe commercial together and make all the money. Because after all, it's like WWF wrestling. They evoke John Cena. It ain't nothing real about it except the stuff in the streets that people then use these sports as proxies.
You know, that is such an interesting point, Panama, because as we said, you know, earlier, okay, Caitlin Clark is not a victim in this. She set a record, 41 points. That's a bad girl. Let's be clear. Her skills are not to be denied. She has not complained, okay?
Nope.
She was gracious in defeat. Like you said, she said what she was supposed to say. But I think, you know, the reality is the pressure and the comments are coming from the outside. You've not heard Angel Reese speak poorly about Caitlin Clark, other than the trash talking on the court. Okay. Caitlin Clark not speaking poorly about Angel Reese, other than, her trash talk on the court. And I would argue that these are the two trash talkers that we've seen. But there's a whole glad trash bag from the other players, I'm quite sure.
I mean, trash bag we've seen that's being talked about right now because it opened up a conversation nationally, right? Because this goes on in game. If you watch any game, pick your game. Watch any game, you're going to see people talking trash because that's the nature of the sport, right? Like, especially in basketball. Like, or football, anytime you can cook somebody. And look, Clark likes to pull up from, like, she thinks she's Steph. You know what I'm saying? And I appreciate the game. Angel, the double-double queen. Like, she does that. These are players that are good enough to do that. They're good enough to talk trash. It just ends up bringing this entire conversation that all of us seem to want to have about it and argue about it. And because of the racial component, right? Because of the way sports writers and people are coming in to put pressure on Angel Reese and talk about them the same way they did Sha'Carri Richardson with the same way they did her. Like, we just do not like, or America does not like, the way that these young black girls are coming in here looking, being themselves, and excelling and beating the brakes off of everybody doing it. They do not enjoy that, right? It's been mentioned, the great white hope. And look, Caitlin might be there. Who knows? Who knows what her ceiling is? Who knows what it's going to be when she gets to the WNBA? And again, like I said, Paige Bueckers is waiting in the wing. She's probably really mad right now because she was the one before all this, right? She was the one that everybody was talking about. So, you know, ultimately, I think that's right. They are going to be two people who are going to benefit from all this. I hate that this is a conversation that we're going to continue to have. It's not going away.
Yeah.
It's not going away because we've empowered through community these young black girls to come out here and be themselves. We've spaces have been created for that internally, right? It's just when they excel, then all of a sudden the pressures from the national media kind of hops in on this thing. And I just don't see that changing. But I'm glad that there are coaches like Don Staley out there and people who get on Twitter and affirm them. As soon as, like, hey, girl, you, because listen, Angel Reese might be the most famous black person in America today.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, ain't nobody not sharing pictures of her with the ring and all this stuff. Like,
yeah, and the two tone leggings and the whole thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Her, they are 100. The I'm seeing rap songs from the other, I'm seeing everything that you need to see to let people know, like, we see you, we're happy for you, we want you to win. And, you know, one day, I hope that's enough. But the national sports media is very loud. So all we can do is keep doing our job and making sure we affirm these girls, these young women, these coaches, let them know we see them, we love them, and we're going to be there every day.
Kelsey, let's talk a little bit about the optics that Panama suggested. So 20 years ago, I would argue, and this comment is coming from somebody who was not a basketball fan, take my black card. I don't care. All right. But, you know, 20 years ago with, you know, Division I NCAA basketball for women, you know, and this is, and this may be a generational thing, because a lot of these young women that are playing today, they, you know, they're not just playing, they are cultivating an image. They are like my grandfather used to say, they're fancy girls. They got the lashes, they have the nails, they are colorful, they're expressive. We didn't see so much of that 20 years ago because it was a generational thing. I would argue that these, you know, the NCAA Division I women players from 20 years ago, they just went in there, they, you know, they were like balling so hard, and you know, they were, you know, they were, they spoke up, they were themselves. But this new generation, it, you know, it's like, can I just do the old head thing? Why you got that great big old afro? Why don't you cut your hair? No, we're not going to cut our hair because this is who we are, Kelsey. So it is what we are seeing right now just an extension of the modern generation of ball players?
You know, this is why I'm so glad we're having this conversation. You know, I think it even transcends basketball. You know, I had a conversation earlier today about FloJo, right, and what she represented, right? Yep. So I think it honestly goes back. And if you think about it, I mean, black women, we've been wearing hair and nails for a long time. I think, you know, the advent of social media, though, Harold, to your point, I think it's kind of made it, obviously, it kind of puts it more in your face. And I think a lot of this conversation, I just have to say it, a lot of this conversation is coming from folks who don't really even watch women's basketball. These are folks that a lot of these people have in common are people that just got hip to the greatness of women's NCAA basketball. So maybe it's more of a surprise to them. But I think even more so, you know, I think this is why it's been so great to watch black women in sports, and not just the athletes, but also if you watch, you know, sports media, you know, you're able to see more black women be able to showcase natural hair and braids and nail colors, you know, and long nail extensions, because I think finally society is catching up with where black women have always been. So I say this to say, you know, I think Angel Reese, and that's why I'm so glad she said it, I think young girls now can see somebody like Angel Reese, because often what happens to a lot of black athletes, you know, and this is not talked about a lot, but sometimes coaches will tell them, you know, tone it down. You know, don't do that. Don't bring too much attention to yourself. You know, just play basketball. Just play the game. And this happens not just in sports, but black women are told this, you know, all the time in offices. You know, maybe you shouldn't wear that hairstyle. Maybe not. That's not the outfit. Because you have to remember, black women have been sexualized since the beginning of time. This goes back to the slave trade and how women would stand on blocks and, right, and white onlookers would judge them based off of their bodies when they were standing, you know, fully naked. So this has been something that's been around for the full time, and this is a lens, unfortunately, Harold, that I don't think will change for black women. But I think now what Angel Reese is showing is that she's going to capitalize off this. You all touched on me. Angel Reese's NIL deals to be going off the walls. I mean, she had LeBron tweet her, former President Barack Obama, you know, in a congratulatory tweet. I mean, we've seen women's basketball, as you said, nobody's even talking about the blue blood, the UConn tonight, you know, and San Diego State University, who, by the way, got there by a buzzer beater. You know, I'm old enough to remember when buzzer beaters, Harold, would take over March Madness conversation.
Exactly.
You know? But nobody's talking about that. We're talking about Angel Reese. We're talking about Dawn Staley. And I think the one thing that's trending on Twitter right now, it's two words. What's trending on Twitter right now, it's black women. Black women have become the main topic of conversation. Why? Because so often, you know, everybody else can capitalize off the blackness that black women have, right? So when a white woman does this, you know, when they add extensions or nails or whatever, it's cute. It's nice, right? But when a black woman does it, you know, it's the worst thing to ever happen. And so, again, I think what Angel Reese is doing, I know we're about to wrap soon, but she's forced us to have a conversation, and I'm glad we're having this conversation, because for too long it's been in silos. It's been hush-hush. I think black women are just honestly sick and tired of being sick and tired and finally saying, and I'm all for unapologetically being themselves, because so often we're not able to do that, Harold. We're not taught to do that. We're taught to hide it. But now we're actually embracing us being ourselves. And I think sports is such a great platform for this to begin.
You know, Dr. Carr, one of the things, piggybacking what Kelsey just said, and we talk about these sports writers, is that, you know, if you have a bunch of white sports writers who are now forced to pay attention to these black women stars, I would argue, tell me if I'm wrong here, Dr. Carr, is that some of these sports writers have not spent a whole lot of time around black women, and they don't know how to talk about them. And that is part of the problem.
Yeah, I think another part of the problem is Americans generally don't have any memory.
Right.
We have no memory. I mean, something I heard a young sister, Reese, say, it was kind of unfortunate, but they're young people. I teach young people. I know. She doesn't know the history. She said LSU has put women's basketball on the map. Well, we know that's not true. I mean, she's not old enough to remember back in 1993 when Cheryl Swoops put a 47 piece on Ohio State and looked good the whole time. She doesn't remember Shamika Holzkar out of Christ the King High School out of New York that came and went down to the University of Tennessee and won a couple of national championships. It's not her fault, and did it with braids. I mean, needless to say, we go back beyond that. I mean, but, you know, there are a lot of examples of black women, particularly in the women's game. I'm talking very specifically about the women's game, who have always pushed the limits. Again, one of the reasons Don Imus called those sisters Nappy Headed Hoes because they had swag. These are New Yorkers and New Jerseyans. Cappy Poindexter, Mati Javon, and them playing for Rutgers. You know, I think all of us could benefit from remembering that black women, black men, black people, but in this very specific instance, black women athletes have had swag, as we just heard, all along. And these sports writers damn well know it. They just choosing not to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I tell you, every time Dr. Carr comes on here, I feel like I get another sheepskin because I'm just... I absolutely... absolutely love it. We could talk about...
I love the women's game, brother. That's all I'm saying.
How about that? And I suspect that we will have plenty more to talk about after tonight's game, no matter what the outcome. And who knows, even as the men play, I really believe the subtext is still going to be in the women's game. They're going to be talking about it. Dr. Greg Carr, Kelsey Nicole Nelson, and Panama Jackson, thank you all very, very much for participating in this great conversation. And I look forward to talking to you all again. Thank you again so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum for this Monday.